Welcome to the Kate Languages podcast. I'm your host, Kate Clifton. I'm a former MFL teacher who left the classroom in 2017 to set off on my own adventure. Since then, I've developed my passion for helping teachers through creating time-saving teaching resources, delivering language lessons and CPD to languages teachers, and of course, through this podcast. I've had some wonderful feedback from teachers about how my work is helping them with their everyday teaching, and I love connecting with teachers from all over the world. To get in touch, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. I'm at Kate Languages on both. Or you can email me through my website, katelanguages.co.uk. But for now, grab a cuppa, although maybe not if you're listening in the car. Sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode of the Kate Languages podcast. Hi, how are you? Welcome back to the Kate Languages podcast. This is season 8, episode 3, and today is a quick episode, although I always say that and end up talking for about 30 minutes. This is meant to be a quick episode of 3 fantastic ideas to start doing dictations in your classroom. Or if you've already started, these might be activities that you haven't yet thought of, or they might be things that you've known about and then kind of forgotten about, which is quite often the feedback I get about CPD and training that I do. People say, oh yeah, I used to know that and I kind of forgot about it. So thank you for reminding me. So either way, I've got 3 activities that you can do with your classes. These are going to be suitable for students right from beginners. So, you know, if we're in England, we're thinking about year 7, probably, potentially even Upper Key Stage 2, so year 5 and 6, and then right the way through to year 11. Okay, so why am I thinking about dictations? For some people, I think, especially if you are not in England and you're not aware of the changes with the GCSE, you might be thinking, dictation sounds like quite an old-fashioned thing. Like, I'm pretty sure if you ask my parents, who are now in their 70s, what they did when they were at school for their O-level languages, I'm pretty sure they would say they did dictations. And it's quite an interesting one because I think, yeah, for some people, they might think it's quite old-fashioned. I've always done a sort of dictation type thing. I taught English as a foreign language before I trained to teach French and German. And I'm pretty sure like dictations was something that we did. Actually, one of the activities I'm going to talk about is something that I used to do when I taught English. And it was great fun. And then I have to say, I'm going to confess now before I even tell you the activity, that I didn't tend to do it as a secondary school teacher. But I think, as I always say about everything, a lot of it depends on your students, on your setting, the size of the class and that kind of thing. So a bit of a teaser there for what the activity might be. You might be able to guess. I don't know. So, yeah, but when I was teaching English as a foreign language, I do feel like, you know, we did dictation type activities. Potentially, I don't know, because English spelling is so hard. So those of you who are teaching French and thinking, oh my gosh, the dictation part of the GCSE is going to be absolutely awful because, yeah, French spelling is so difficult. Well, the first thing I'm going to say for the new GCSE, so if you are teaching dictations with a view to students doing the new GCSEs, and when I'm talking about new, because you could be listening to this in like 5 years' time, the new GCSE at the moment is first teaching now, so it's September 2024. So for year 10s, it's the first teaching now, and first exams are going to be in summer, you know, kind of May, June 2026. And there is an element in the listening exam where students will have to do a dictation. So, I mean, I'm kind of assuming you know what dictation means, but I'll go back a couple of steps just to make sure that we're all on the same page. So dictation essentially means that you as the teacher or somebody on a recording, which is obviously what it will be for exams, reads out a sentence or a short text in the foreign language, and students have to write down in the foreign language what the text is. So if they say, I don't know, if you say, j'ai un chat, the students have to write down, j'ai un chat. With the GCSE, with the French, so obviously the T in that sentence, j'ai un chat, is silent. They are actually going to be fairly lenient. So it's not a grammar test, it's a phonics test. So they are going to be a little bit lenient about it. And there are various different rules for the different exam boards and then also for different languages. So before I get into the activities, I just wanted to let you know as well that I'm going to be doing a workshop about dictations. There will be a bit of focus on the new GCSE. So I will start the workshop by telling you, you know, exactly what the dictations are, how they're going to be done for Foundation and Higher, for AQA and EdExcel. I'll give examples from French, German and Spanish. So just to go over that and how they're going to be marked and things like that. However, even if you're not teaching in England and you're not teaching the GCSE, I still think this is a workshop that will be really, really helpful for you. And I think this episode will be really, really helpful for people, even if they're not teaching GCSEs in England, because I think dictations are fantastic. So today I'm going to give you three activities in the workshop. Wow, at the moment I've got about 12. I might narrow it down a little bit. I might even add a few more. But I just want to give you lots and lots of ideas and lots of activities that you can do, because I think we can think of dictations as being something that's a bit boring and a bit dry, but actually I think they can be really quite fun. So like I said, I've got three activities for you today, but in the workshop, I'll start with a bit of an explanation of, you know, what dictations actually mean for the new GCSE. And then give you lots of fun activities. So if you came to my phonics workshop last year, it's kind of similar to that in the sense that I'll give you a bit of a background about, you know, why am I talking about phonics? And then in the phonics one, I think I had about 8 different activities or something like that. So it's going to be kind of similar to that. It's just a 1-hour workshop that is going to be on Monday, the 14th of October. So if you listen to this the day that it comes out, you've got about 3 weeks to sign up to that, and I'll pop links in the show notes and I'll put links on all my social media and I'll send emails and stuff to you, so don't worry about trying to find the link to that, or just send me an email, hello@katelanguages.co.uk, and we'll send you the link to sign up to that. It will be £19.50, but the first 50 tickets are going to be discounted half price. So first 50 people, get in there quickly and get your tickets for half of £19.50, which is about £9.75 plus booking fees. So yeah, so it's a bit of a bargain really for a 1-hour workshop and loads of activities that you can literally take away and do the next day. It will be recorded before people start asking me. That's the one question people always ask. It will be recorded. So if you can't come along at 7:30 on a Monday evening, or if you just don't feel like it, if you don't want to work outside of school hours, totally get that. And then you will have access to the recording after the workshop and you can watch it back in your own time. If you're listening to this way in the future and you think, that sounds like it would have been a really good workshop, but I've missed it. On my website, katelanguages.co.uk, I have a bundle of the workshops that I'm doing in academic year 2024-25. There are already 2 in there because I did 2 over the summer. And then there are going to be 3 more workshops that I'm doing this year. So this one is dictations, and then the next 2 will be in 2025, and the content and the dates and everything to be confirmed. But yeah, I kind of want to see the types of things that people would be interested in. So yeah, if you've got an idea for a workshop, something that you're thinking like, I really, really need some help on this, then as I say, get in touch. You can email hello@katelanguages.co.uk and yeah, let us know the kinds of things that you would like to have workshops on this year. Okay, so shall we dive in to 3 fun activities that you can do with your students to help them practice dictations, either ready for the GCSE or just because it's actually a really useful activity to do. I often, in my exploiting one text method of planning a lesson, I will say like, do a listening where you're listening for gist of a text and then do a dictation. And then from the dictation, you've then got a transcript, which you can then use for reading tasks and things like that, et cetera, et cetera. Again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I did do a podcast episode about exploiting one text. So have a listen to that. And I have done a workshop on that as well. So yeah. But yeah, so in a nutshell, basically take one text for your whole lesson instead of trying to find lots of different texts for everything. Okay, the one thing I want to say before I talk about these activities as well is that if you are doing formative assessment, so, you know, your end of half term or end of term assessments or your year 10 mocks or whatever, you're going to need to do them in the style of the GCSE. This is, again, for teachers in England who are teaching GCSE, French, German, Spanish for the new GCSEs. Yeah, for your formative assessments, you're going to need to do them as they are in the exam. Like, you can't really do fun activities for that. But I would just say, like, if you are doing one dictation, I mean, even like once a fortnight to do sort of the exam style dictations, even once a fortnight, I just feel like this could be quite boring for students. That in and of itself is quite a dry activity to literally just sit and listen to somebody talking and then have to write it down in the target language. If you're doing it as part of the exploited one text method that I just talked about, you know, you might want to just do it as a quick activity. So you might just want to literally play a listening track and keep, you know, pause it as you go along and then they write it down. So obviously there will be times when you just want to do a straight dictation like that. But there are other times when you might want to, yeah, do slightly more fun activities. Okay, so the first fun activity, I mean, I've got to say fun is probably maybe stretching it a little bit, but a nice activity that you can do, which actually incorporates reading aloud as well. Okay, so this is a dictation slash reading aloud activity. Split your group into pairs, so they're doing pair work for this activity. Partner A in the pair will have part of a text and partner B will have the other part of the text. So it could be that you've got six sentences and partner A has three sentences and partner B has a different three sentences. It could be that you have a full text and you've actually split it in half, and again partner A will have the full first half and partner B will have the full second half of the text. So whatever you're working with, and again, if you're using my exploiting one text method, your text for the lesson or a text from a previous lesson. So I think the thing with this activity as well, they don't have to be brand new sentences that they've never seen. They could be similar to a text that you've done in a previous lesson, similar language. If you use sentence builders, you can just take six sentences from your sentence builders. So don't think of this, you know, it's not always a test, this kind of thing. A dictation can be a really good thing to embed language and practice language. Okay, so take your text or a few sentences. So student A has the first half of the text and they've got the full text that they are going to read to student B. When you first do this activity, I would give student B most of the first part of the text with a few gaps. Okay, and for, you know, for some student, for the GCSE, you're going to do gap fill for EdExcel, not for AQA. Again, I'll go through all this in the workshop in a bit more detail. But I still think gap fill, and especially if you're thinking about, you know, lower down, so, you know, key stage three and even key stage two, as I mentioned at the beginning, this could work really, really well with gaps. Okay, so you've got the text or the sentences. Student A reads that aloud. So this is great practice for part of the speaking exam, but also, again, I believe that this is actually a really useful activity for students to do, to read a text aloud. And then student B actually has to listen and understand what they're saying because they have to fill in the gaps. The more practice they get at doing this, the more you can, you know, you can add more gaps. And then eventually they can just have nothing in front of them and they have to write out the full sentence or the full text as their partner says it. Yeah, so you can gradually increase the difficulty. And this is a really easy way of differentiating it as well. You can put, you know, higher ability students together and you say, right, you're not getting anything. You just have to write out full text. With like total beginners or lower ability students, you could even give student A the full text in order or the three sentences in order or whatever. And then student B has the text, but in the wrong order. So, you know, so say student A reads 1, 2, 3. Student B might have them on their paper as 3, 1, 2. And then they just have to listen to what student A says and then just identify which sentence it is. So that is the both ends of the spectrum of differentiation there as well, or adaptive teaching or whatever we're calling it these days. But that's a really, really easy one to do that doesn't involve too much extra work. Okay. And then once they've done that, they can check their answers and then they can switch over. So student B then has their part of the text that they read aloud to student A, and then student A has to fill in the blanks. The difficulties, I'm just thinking about this, you know, students who I've taught in the past, some of them would just try and copy each other. So think of a way of, like, I don't know, make them put their folder or a book or something between them so they, you know, like upright between them so they can't see it. You get them to sit back to back. But if everyone in the class is doing it and you've got 30 students, you've got at least 15 people talking at any one time, that could get a bit loud and then they might not hear each other. I was thinking you could even set it up as a speed dating kind of thing. So you line up all your students, you'd have to move tables around a bit, but line up all your students and then they're facing each other, they're opposite each other. And then they're reading it aloud. But again, like, you know, they might be distracted by what the neighbours say, or they might just listen because they're like, oh, he's got a better French accent, I'm just going to listen to him, I'm not going to listen to my partner. You know, I mean, I don't know. I think I was one of these kids who would like try and cut corners as much as I possibly could. So I always think of like what kids are going to do to try and cheat or try and make it as easy as possible for themselves. So yeah, so I think that's a nice, straightforward activity that shouldn't take too much time and effort for you to organize. The one thing you would have to do is print them off and, you know, probably cut them out because you're not going to have full pieces of paper, are you? You know, just small bits of paper. So, you know, printing them off and photocopying and then cutting them up. Essentially, that's the most work that you're going to have to do. And then the best thing is you've then got a text, which, you know, as I'm talking about my exploiting one text method, you then use that text. Either it's a text that you've already done and, you know, that's fine. It could be a really good starter activity, or you use that text then for reading tasks. They'd have to translate it into English and then they can use it as a writing frame to do their own writing or speaking or whatever. So, or as you're doing it as a reading aloud kind of task as well, you can then have some questions that they can then carry on and have a conversation. You know, there's so many different ways of exploiting that text once you have done it. Okay, so that is idea number one. Idea number two is running dictation. So this is the one that I used to do when I was teaching English as a foreign language. So I used to teach in Indonesia. I lived in Indonesia for a year and taught English as a foreign language. And all of our classrooms had doors to, so it was like a long sort of outside covered corridor and then a line of classrooms, and the doors of the classrooms were all outside in the corridor. Like, you need to know this for what I'm going to tell you. So what we would do is we would have sentences, and so we'd cut up the sentences and then stick them all along the corridor outside, bearing in mind in Indonesia it's usually around sort of 30 odd degrees and about 80% humidity. So running in Indonesia is probably not a great idea. And I do remember during Ramadan doing this activity and then thinking, oh gosh, these poor students can't actually drink any water. So just be aware of how you're doing this and when you're doing it. But essentially, a running dictation is you have, again, say six sentences that could form a text because that could lead into other activities, or they could just be six standalone sentences that practice a grammar point or something like that. Again, students can work in pairs or even small groups. When I was working in Indonesia, we had like five or six kids in a class quite often. Maybe I think the maximum was about 10. They were very small rooms as well. Anyway, so students can work in, you know, pairs or small groups. One person from the pair or small groups goes to wherever you stick the sentences. I mean, if you're going to put them outside in a corridor, obviously you need to check with other people that, for example, no one on your corridor is doing a listening test or something at the time when you want your kids to be running up and down the corridor trying to remember sentences, or just, you know, stick them around the classroom. And I know people have told me when I've talked about other games like the corner game and things like that, that people are like, students literally can't move around my classroom. So I think this is one that is really, really great fun, but not, it might not be possible for everybody in every situation. There might be other ways that you can think of doing a running dictation that doesn't involve them getting up and running around, you know, delayed dictation or something like that. And again, I'll give more variations and ideas in the workshop. So print off sentences, cut them up, stick them around the classroom. They have to be small enough that nobody can actually just sit at their table and read them and copy them down, just to say that. One person from the pair goes, reads a sentence, goes back to the partner and says a sentence to the partner, and the partner has to write it down. Okay, so again, if the sentence is j'ai un chat, they go, they read it, j'ai un chat, they have to remember it in their head, and then they go back to the partner and they say, right, the sentence was j'ai un chat. And then they can help them with the spelling and, you know, things like that. And you can, I mean, I would let them do that in English or, you know, in their first language. I don't think they necessarily have to do that in the target language. And again, start off with really short sentences like that. So like j'ai un chat, if it's the first time they've ever done it. And then you can build up to longer sentences. Or you can have one sentence that's, you know, Jianshao, I guess, technically is 4 words, building up to maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 words. So around the classroom, there'll be ones that are easier and harder. And they're allowed to, so if they go, and if it's a 10-word sentence and they can only remember 3 words at a time, they can remember those 3 words, go back to their partner, dictate those 3 words, and then say, right, I'll be back in a second, go and get the next words, and then come back to them. So they don't have to memorize a 10-word sentence. You could do it as a game, as a competition, you know, the quickest team wins, but they have to get it all right. This is a great one to do on mini whiteboards as well, because then they can rub it out and change it and you can check them. Some teachers will say, right, you know, you're not allowed to go and get the second sentence until I've checked the first one. Again, if you've got loads and loads of kids sort of moving around the classroom, you might want to just let them do all 5 or 6 or, you know, however many you've got. And then at the end, you can check them all and then they can self-correct what's on their mini whiteboards and things like that. So yeah, so that's a really fun activity. And the third activity, again, is another one that's actually really useful if you're teaching GCSE, because it's a picture dictation. So you, as the teacher, have a picture in front of you. So it could be literally a photo from a photo card. And again, if you're thinking about my exploiting one text method, you can use a photo as your, in quotes, one text for a lesson. And that photo forms the kind of the basis for the lesson, and everything you do in the lesson is around that one photo. So this would be a really great activity to do around that one photo. So you describe the photo and they have to draw the photo or draw the picture. Okay. So you don't want something that's too complicated, but they're going to need potentially coloured pencils. And this is a great one to do if you're teaching or practicing colours and adjectives and, you know, adjectival agreement and all that kind of stuff. So you could say, like, right, you know, there is a boy and a girl. The girl is wearing a red jumper and blue trousers. The boy is wearing a grey jumper and orange trousers. The girl has a green hat. And, you know, as you're dictating all these things in the target language, they are drawing the picture. A variation of that, if students don't like drawing or they're really slow at drawing, they could literally just write what you're saying. It's kind of not as much fun, really, because, you know, the fun part is actually drawing it. And then at the end, when you've described the picture, you then show them the picture and then they can kind of compare their pictures to what you've described and, you know, see what they've got right, see what they've got wrong. And then that's a really good thing for picking up misconceptions and, you know, gaps in vocab. And it's like, I didn't know the colours, I got all the colours wrong or something. So yeah, so that's really good. For your preparation for that, obviously you're going to need to find a picture and you're probably going to want to write out the description of the picture before you actually do it. And especially, and it sounds a bit weird, especially if you're a native speaker, because you might just be looking at the picture and like, right, I'm just going to tell you loads of stuff about this picture. Whereas actually, think of 6 sentences that you can say about the picture, simple sentences. Bearing in mind, dictations never have to be complicated. They never have to be difficult. If you're thinking about the GCSE, they are such simple, short, easy sentences. Write down 5 or 6 clear, simple sentences that practice the vocab point or the grammar point that you are practicing. This is a brilliant one for Spanish, because if you are doing continuous tenses, you can say, you know, está llorando, está jugando, and you can actually practice the continuous tenses. So that's a fantastic one for Spanish. But yeah, I would recommend writing down exactly what you want to say, because then you can repeat it word for word. All right, so you're not tempted to rephrase it or slightly change it. And then they say, I thought you said she had a green hat. I thought you said he had a blue hat, whatever. So there you go. 3 simple activities that you can do tomorrow or even today. If you're listening to this in your car on the way to school, you can shove one of these into your lessons and let me know how you get on with them. So just a reminder, the first one was pair work, dictation and reading aloud. So partner A has half the text and reads it to partner B and they have to write it out, starting with gaps and then moving to being able to write out the full text. Activity number 2 was a running dictation where you stick some sentences around the room. Again, working in pairs, partner A goes, finds a sentence, memorizes it and comes and dictates it to partner B. So it's technically reading aloud as well, I guess, sort of. And then activity 3 is the picture dictation, where you, as a teacher, describe a picture, make sure you plan exactly what you're going to say beforehand. Students have to draw the picture, and then you compare what they've drawn to what you've said. So there we go. I said it was going to be a quick episode, and then I said, oh, I was talking for about half an hour anyway. I have been talking for nearly half an hour. So I'm hoping that those are really fun activities that you're going to try out. Like I say, let me know how you get on with them. And I'm going to be back next week talking about money again. I know, talking about passive income for teachers. So if you are thinking of, you know, setting up a side hustle, or if you are already doing a bit of tuition and stuff like that, just thinking about making a bit of extra money, then you're definitely going to want to listen to this episode next week. So I will see you then. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kate Languages podcast. If you did, please think about leaving me a 5-star review. And you can also tag me on social media to let me know you've been listening and let me know your thoughts on the episode. Also, don't forget to subscribe so the next episode of the Kate Languages podcast can be delivered straight to your device as soon as it's released. But until then, auf Wiedersehen, au revoir, adios, bye.